Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Hodge Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we're delighted to have you in our audience tonight. We also have with us Frank Briscoe. And Frank's been with us here for a few weeks. He started with us on the Christian Graces, and we wanted him to continue to be with us as we complete the Christian Graces in this week or the next. And so we're happy that Frank was willing to be with us for a little while as we complete this series. Now, we want to also remind you that we're airing on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and we're also airing on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And I promise you, with the minds that we have with us tonight, David, myself, and Frank, that we'll be able to come up with a Bible answer for anything that you throw our way. We also want to remind you that you can also listen to these programs via podcast. If you will go to the harrisonmoore.org website, down at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage, you'll see an RSS feed. You click there and follow the directions and the instructions, and you will be able to see, listen to the programs anytime you like via a podcast. We also tonight want to mention our additional sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 4839 10 Top Road. And we recommend all of these congregations. All of them have good, faithful gospel preachers, men who will speak the truth to you, and I know that if you're in the area, you'll be blessed to be a part of that. Now, our motto has been, and always will be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. We have, over the last several weeks, been looking at the Christian graces, and this has been a very, I believe, a beneficial, rich, a study of God's Word. We have there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we've in past lessons looked at faith and virtue, knowledge, temperance or self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the last of these Christian graces that we got started on last week was that of love. And really, love is an appropriate study and really appropriate conclusion to the Christian graces because it really is the center of all things. And after all, the supreme law of the universe, is it not love, David?
Absolutely it is. And when you put all of these Christian graces together, and you can describe it in a number of ways. You can describe it as building upon the block of faith and working your way up to the ultimate tier, which would be love. Or you can describe it as a necklace, and the last stone on there, the diamond of it, if you will, is that of love, which accentuates every one of the Christian graces. And when we look at love, and we've spent several weeks on it, God is love, and God's love for us is manifested. It is made evident for us so that no one can miss the love that God has. But as we have been talking about in weeks past, Tom, the general concept of the love of God by by the world is that it is absolutely and totally unconditional. He's going to take you like you are, and you don't have to do anything about it. You don't have to love him back. You don't have to do anything. But that is not what we have been taught through the Scriptures.
Exactly. You know, I've got a little saying written in the front of my Bible that I've had written in several Bibles over the years, and it goes like this. The Bible is an ocean of knowledge that no man can, that little children can wade around in, yet no man can fathom the depths thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that with regard to love. You know, we can study and study, and we really can't fathom the depths of the love of God and our responsibility in this love. And we've seen that by us, you know, some people think bogging down in love, but mm-hmm. I don't think we've bogged down. I think we've delved into the depth of the riches
sure.
of the love of God.
Sounds like we got a call coming in.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
Hey, Tom, it's Eric. How you doing?
We're all right. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I actually forgot you guys were on the radio tonight. I used to be on home on a Monday night. Sorry.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Hang up and listen in on us.
I will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well.
got a good call in.
Got a good call in. And, you know, that actually happened last week as well. I got a phone call and somebody forgot that this was the program.
Right.
But anyway, we know the phone's working tonight.
It's working.
So tonight, if you've got a question or a comment, be sure and call in to 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about love. We're finishing up. And I don't know that we're going to finish up love tonight. We're probably going to finish up next week because there's something that's connected with love that's very, very important for us to understand in the whole scheme of what love. You know, when we think about love, Frank, the Bible talks about how that God is love. And he's the very essence of what love is all about. And how does God manifest His love to us, Frank?
We see God's love manifest in the things that He has done. The obvious beginning would be one of the most familiar passages. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten mm-hmm. Son. There is the manifestation of the depth of the love that God has for us.
Yeah, and David, isn't it a shame, though, that powerful verse that mm-hmm. Frank mentioned is one that is so adulterated in our world today.
And misused. You know, people look at that and they say, well, this means God's love is unconditional. He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die that I might have life. And evidently, I'm not going to have to do anything here. But if you continue reading in verses 17, 18, and 19, you'll see that there is a difference between darkness and light there.
Uh-huh.
And the light is the one who follows the word and the will of God through obedience. And the dark is the one who sits back and says, I don't do anything. You're going to take me like I am because I love darkness. This is where I'm going to stay. And if you want me, you got to come in where I am, into the darkness to get me. And that will not happen.
Exactly. Frank, when you think about various verses like John 3 and verse 16, how many times have people taken a verse, or how often do people take a verse out of a context and they just tear it up? You know, like John 3 and 16, and we've talked a lot about how people can't understand what a verse always means unless they're looking at it in their context.
Mm-hmm.
They like to go in and pick something out, don't they?
Right,
and,
right.
That's a problem in the world, isn't it, Frank?
Right. If we take a verse out of context, it simply becomes a pretext.
Mm-hmm.
We apply something to it that is not there. The verse that we're looking at, two parts. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the condition. You've got to believe in Him. This is where the eternal life is to be found, and it is the result of the love of God.
Well, now let's just stop there and identify that word "believe" just a little bit, because I think that's where the world is confused. This word that's used there, "believe," is not just having a concept in your head that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's not what that word means at all. That word "believe" has to do with obedience to that belief. And you look at that, this is the only logical way that you can explain it. The word "believe" is used as a synecdoche for the whole, a part for the whole. People have a concept of God. People have a concept of Jesus Christ, but that is not belief. Belief is faith. Faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. What are we supposed to believe about Jesus the Christ? Every single thing that is in the New Testament about the Jesus the Christ, that He was born of a virgin, that He was sent from heaven to redeem the souls of those who could not redeem themselves. I am sent that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We are to believe all of these things, and then we are to believe His plan for us in order to be saved. And if we don't believe that, if we don't have faith in that, we have no belief in the Son of God at all.
You know, Jesus really states that very thing you've mentioned in the last part of this chapter.
Absolutely.
In the American Standard Version, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him."
Amen.
And so there is the contrast. You know, belief, mm-hmm. obedience are connected. Well, let's stop for a second. What does this have to do with the love of God? We're talking tonight about the Christian graces. We're talking about the final attribute or the final characteristic or the final thought concerning Christian graces, and that is love. What's belief and obedience really have to do with love?
Well, when you look back up there at John chapter 15, John chapter 14, verse 15, John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." The belief, the obedience, the faith has to do with our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That would be the second person of the Godhead, God the Son. We've got to love God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all the same way. And when we love Jesus, that love is manifested just in the same way that God's love is manifested, in that we show our love for Him. How do we do that? Jesus tells us very plainly, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That means pure and unadulterated obedience to my revealed will, which you cannot disregard because it's written down.
You know, the final instruction that Jesus gave to the disciples, to the apostles, He said, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned." And as you look at that, he that believeth, you preach the gospel, he that believeth, and we ask the question, believe what? The gospel. Mm-hmm. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first four verses, outlines for us what the gospel is. Mm-hmm. And this is back to Romans, John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus came, he lived, he died, was buried, and was raised. That's the gospel. That's what God has done, the love of God has done for us.
So we owe a debt.
Exactly. You know, and because of that debt, Romans 5, verse 8 says, "God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us for a reason, and that's because we are in sin. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "Sin separates us from God." We become slaves to sin. And we need redemption, don't we?
Right.
And that comes to play then, that redemptive price, that ransom. You know, we live in a world, David and Frank, where people have a misconception about the ransom with regard to really God's love mm-hmm. and our being in sin.
No doubt. And that ransom, a lot of people don't realize it, that the ransom is the price paid to redeem one's soul from perishing, from being lost. That is the price paid. And not only is it the price paid to redeem that soul, it is the price paid to raise that soul out of the grave in order to be able to enjoy eternal life. The ransom only God has. The ransom is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And God so loved the world that He gave that ransom that we might live. And no man can ransom his own soul, regardless of his wisdom, regardless of his wealth. No man can ransom his soul. Only God has the ransom, and God's ransom is His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. There is the ransom. There is the covering for our sin. There is the forgiveness right there.
You know, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom mm-hmm. for many. Why did He do this?
The term ransom is almost a military term. The background for the term ransom, when an invading army went through a country and was victorious, they carried away the spoil. Sometimes the spoil that they carried away were slaves, a man's wife, his children. If it was your wife, your child, you could go to them and ransom them back. They set the price. You paid the ransom. You know, and in that sense, the price has been set. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. And the ransom that had to be paid was the death of Christ. That's the cost. That was the ransom. That was what He paid in order that we might be purchased back unto God.
Mm-hmm. Well, what motivated Jesus to be willing to pay the ransom? And what motivated the Father to send His Son to pay the ransom?
Love.
Greater love hath no man than this, mm-hmm. that a man lay down his life.
It's absolute and total love paid the ransom. Love caused the entire scenario to take place. It was all about love. And we've got to go from there. I understand we've got some technical difficulties here on the internet. I'm sure we're okay on our FM stations, but evidently we've got a little problem in the internet. We're working on that as we speak, as we'll continue to work on this love. What we need to understand here is it was the love that prompted God to make the sacrifice available, mm-hmm. the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And so from there we have the sacrifice of love, and it was a sacrifice that was no doubt a very difficult one to make. Sin had to be paid for,
mm-hmm.
and the only possible way to pay for sin was the ransom of the Son in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And that brings us to really what we're talking about, where we've been talking about the Christian graces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about love. Now, tonight, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're discussing the Christian graces. We're concluding these Christian graces by discussing love. Now, we know about the love of God. We're talking tonight about, God, as we mentioned in John 3, verse 16, so loved the world that He gave His Son
mm-hmm.
to die for us. That was because He loved who? The world, right?
The world, mankind. Now, the souls of mankind.
Does everyone benefit from the sacrifice of Christ?
Everyone has the ability to benefit mm-hmm. from it, but no, not everyone does benefit. And there are several reasons why. Number one, they don't love God. Now, mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that say that they do love God, and we talked about this last week with that young lady that kept saying, "Well, I love God, I love God, I love God, but I'm going to marry a married man because I want to make myself happy." There's something wrong with that scenario. Now, Jesus or the Holy Spirit through John makes no mumbling mistake about this in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Now, we've been talking about reciprocating love to God. God manifests his love toward us through the sacrifice of his Son. We are to manifest our love toward him through the keeping of his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. Well, now, those who say, "I know God, I love God," and yet they don't keep his commandments. Now, for those of you who have your Bibles, please, please, please take your Bibles and open this, because a lot of people do not know about this verse of Scripture here that is piercing to the bone. And here's what it says, 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "He that says that I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Mm-hmm.
But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him." Now, there's a lot said there that a lot of people don't, that they just read right over it. And first of all, you can't go around claiming you love God and not obey him, because he's going to call you a bald-faced liar. And that's just exactly what he does there. He says, "You are a liar and the truth is not in you." How hard is that to understand, Tom?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we need help to misunderstand certain verses of the Bible. We need someone who's trying to lead us astray. There are a lot of false teachers, liberal brethren out there who will try to explain away
yes.
a verse.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's what's happening here. You can't get any clearer than if you don't obey, you don't love. Right.
And if you don't obey and you say you do, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Now, that word liar is a big word.
Especially when you consider Revelation 21 verse 8.
And well, Revelation 21 verse 8, Revelation 21 verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
"Whoso makes a lie," they cannot go to heaven. You cannot enjoy heaven. You cannot be redeemed. You cannot be ransomed because you are a liar and the truth is not in you.
And all this is connected with love, with our topic tonight.
Our love to God. Now, for those of you who are listening, we encourage you, please pick up that phone and give us a call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number all over the world. If you'll call it, we'll answer it. And one thing we want you to know, and this passage in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, just accentuates the motto of this program. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now the problem, Tom, is that most of the world wants to rely on what man has to say and said, "Well, you know, old Pastor Bob over there, well, he told me this," or "Brother so and so over there, he told me this," or sister whatever her name is over there, "Well, she told me this."
Or "I just believe in my heart."
Or "I just believe in my heart," or "the Holy Spirit laid this on me as I was driving down the highway along about 12 o'clock last night." But the fact of the matter is, if we don't get our faith from the Word of God, everything that we know about the love of God, every single thing that we know about the love of God is going to come out of that Bible, or we don't know anything about the love of God at all.
Exactly right.
You know, it, along this, with the same idea on redemption, he says, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works.
Mm-hmm.
But there he tells us the grace of God has appeared, but it instructs us we have to leave behind the things of this world, worldly lust, ungodliness, unrighteousness, and be obedient unto him.
So that's another verse really emphasizing the fact that we've got to be people who are going to be obedient. It's not enough just to love. You know, you can say all day long that you love your wife,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't treat her right, if you don't show her that you love her, that word, that statement means nothing.
There's got to be a manifestation of the love.
Our simple speaking to God, just claiming I love you, means nothing
mm-hmm.
apart from our obedience. You know, we have a big thing in our world today that people are seeming to think that, we don't really have to do anything to be pleasing to God. We do whatever we want. I think the problem is not on any of our side. I think it's between us and on the other end.
Oh, you're talking about the sound now?
Yeah, yeah.
The sound on the internet.
I think it's
those of you who are listening out there, let us know what you can or cannot hear out on the internet. We have some people that are writing in on the chat box saying that they have lost their sound. We're trying to locate what the problem is. I'm sure our webmaster over there at in North Texas is checking on this as we speak.
But tonight we're talking about the Christian graces. We're talking about love, and we're talking tonight about love's connection to salvation, love's connection with obedience, love's connection with that ransom
mm-hmm.
that was paid for us. And when we think about this whole situation here, the question we've got to ask, you know, it says God so loved the world that he gave. Does that mean that everyone's going to go to heaven? If the sacrifice of Christ was for everyone?
No. And there's a very – remember here what we just got through saying in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He that says that I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see, that truth of God's word is directly connected with the love of God. Mm-hmm. The truth of God's word. Now, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And there we are told about God who would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, friends, we've got to come to a knowledge of the truth before we can be saved.
Exactly.
And that truth is associated with the love of God because we love him and we keep his commandments. We love him. We manifest that love by keeping his commandments. And when we manifest that love, then the truth, which is associated with love, is going to be manifested in our life. And God doesn't want anybody. He doesn't want to lose not one single solitary soul. But he's not going to force you to believe and obey in what he has asked you to do.
What kind of love would we be manifesting to our wives or to our children or to our God, Frank, if we were forced to love?
If we were forced to love, then it wouldn't be love.
That's right. You know, it's kind of like when you... your grandkids come home and they come and hug you, you know, you really like that. But they come in the house and their mom and dad says, go hug your grandpa. Well, that's not quite as good as them running in
no.
and just coming to you, is
no,
it?
No, it is not. And I've had that happen to me before with my own kids. You know, they'll be in a foul mood and my grandson or my son will say, get over there and hug your papa.
Yeah.
And I said, no. Well, you better get over there and hug your wife. And then they're forced to. Well, that was kind of an act of futility, you know, because of a bad attitude of a surly kid. But this is the way that God looks at this as well. We got some attitude problems concerning direction and authority,
mm-hmm.
and people don't like to be told what to do. And because they don't like to be told what to do, they do not want to manifest that love to God, because I just don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And it's a surly attitude toward people who claim that they are God's children, and they need to get their mind right.
You know, that's kind of, you know, in our denominational world today, there are so many people who think that all you've got to do is love the Lord and believe in Him, you know, and that's all you've got to do. But how, and they think that, you know, be involved in works or obedience is works, and we're supposed to only need to be loving and obedient. But as we've pointed out, you can't love God without showing Him by your actions that you love Him.
Well, we discussed a few minutes ago about God's love for us, and how do we know that God loves us? God so loved the world. It's seen in the things that has been manifested to us by God. You turn the same thing around. How do we know that an individual loves God?
Mm-hmm.
By the things that they do, the life that they live.
Absolutely,
it's manifested
no doubt about it.
In the same way.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Well, we're at the halfway mark of our show. We are still waiting for a call. Eric called us, but it was quite by accident. Eric, call us again. Make another accident, and now you know what we're talking about. You can jump in on the discussion. The number to call, this is a live call-in radio talk show. And this thing works so much better when you are a participant in the broadcast. Now, we would like to remind the people where all we're broadcasting from tonight. Of course, we're broadcasting on thegospelradionetwork.org. And you can get on there by going to the Harrison Moore the harrisonmoore.org webpage, and you can click on and find out where we are there and go from there. We've got a call coming in at the break, and we're going to take that call right now. We love calls, so caller, give us your first name and your question or your comment, please.
Well, this is Eric again, actually calling you for a reason why you're on the show.
Great.
Not by accident.
All right. Well, this is wonderful, wonderful. You're the guy we're looking for tonight.
What's on your mind, Eric?
Well, you know, you're talking about love and obedience and everything. And your last comment, Tom, I believe, and then David might have said it too, but you have to show it by your example. I talked to a fellow years ago and was trying to talk to him about the scripture, and he said, you don't need to talk to me about it. I'm okay and everything. Just, I can worship God right there in my fishing boat on Sunday morning just like I can if I'm there at a church building. He said, I don't like church buildings and blah, 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 and went on from there. And I've talked to several people in that same manner. But what they don't understand is once you are a Christian, or even before you become a Christian, you still need to know what the Bible says about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And nobody can tell me that you can sit out on a fishing boat or go hunting or something. You know, we got hunting coming up, you know, and people tend to put things before God. And I think that's what a lot of people they don't really understand, is once things overcome their will to worship God, then the way they look at it, well, they can worship God anywhere. And it all goes along with what you're talking about tonight, and your example and how you show how much love you do have for God.
Do you think that we really love God?
You're going to do what he commands us to do there in Scriptures, as y'all showed already tonight.
Do you think that we really love God as we ought to if we worship God the way we want to and not the way He desires?
No.
Remember that? It was not too long ago that
the true love that he asked, you know, that's not the true love that He requires of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done his part. Christ has done his part. Now it's our turn to do our part, and that is works. It is by our faith. It is by our love. It is by our obedience, and that's what we have to show, not only to others in the world and to God, and to Jesus our Lord, but we also have to show it to ourselves. Because if we don't show it to ourselves, I don't believe we can say that we're actually truly obedient.
Exactly. You know, so appreciate you calling out, Eric, and you're exactly right with regard to obedience and love. People just aren't showing the love because they're not showing that they are truly obedient, whether it be in their worship or other things. Eric, thank you for calling in. You made some good comments. We appreciate you. Love you, brother. Keep listening and keep calling in.
Keep having a great show. Thanks.
All righty.
Thanks for calling, Eric. Good to hear from you.
You too.
Okay, we are, like I say, at the halfway mark of our show, a little bit further than that, and we want to be sure and remind everybody where we are. We are broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM in Eastland, and we would love to hear somebody from Eastland call in to us, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford. I know we have a lot of listeners out there because a lot of them call after the show, and we do a pretty good visit. Don't be bashful. Call in. We'll put you on the show here tonight. KQMK 1680 AM Hydro, Oklahoma, and also the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We want you to remember that we have a motto here, and our motto is very, very important to us because you have heard what men have had to say, and now we want you to hear what the Bible has to say. Well-meaning men and women sometimes are mighty reckless in their instruction and in their advice about the Bible because well-meaning men and women sometimes just flat do not know what the Bible has to say. We're going to give you scripture and verse. And what we want you to understand is that God has something to say here. And I mentioned just a moment ago, everything that you know about the love of God is going to come from this Bible. You know
exactly.
Nothing at all.
You know, there's a big problem, David, in our world when people are gearing up and relying too much on what they feel in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our conscience, our how we feel is not our guide in religion, because if a person feels in their heart things should be one way, another person feels that the same thing in their heart should be another way, how can that be right? You know, God is not the author of confusion. God does not want us to be confused. There's only one way that we're going to come to a true understanding about what the love of God is all about, and that's from the Bible. You know, like we said back a while back, everything we know about the Holy Spirit comes from the Bible, or we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit at all.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true about God's love.
The same is true about God's worship.
That's right. Everything we need to know is found right there, and if it's not in the Bible, it's wrong.
That's
just all there is to it.
And that is our purpose here on this show. We want to tell people what is going on. We want people to understand what God actually desires for us, because He reveals His desire through this Word. Now it's up to us to find out what that desire is and to know it. And by the way, you know, the one scripture that keeps cropping up there is 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Give diligence, study to show yourself approved unto God. How are we going to show ourselves approved unto God? By knowing the truth of God's Word. And then he goes on to say, a workman that need not be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Ashamed of not knowing what in the world God wants.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly dividing the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth which is associated with the love of God.
You know, tonight, David, we have listeners from all over the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to Quantum. All the way down to the Austin area. And we're happy that you're listening in. Tonight we're talking about the Christian graces. We're talking about the final one of the Christian graces, and that is
love.
And we've showed here how about God's love for us, and that this love does not mean that everybody's going to heaven. It's a conditional to love to receive. Now, God loves everyone, but to receive the benefits of that love, we've got something that we need to do.
There's no doubt about it.
But this God that spared not his own son has blessed us with many wonderful blessings. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, Frank, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, are there any spiritual blessings outside of Christ?
You know, the term all inclusive, if all blessings are in Christ, that doesn't leave any other. It's also interesting to go ahead and read the whole of the first chapter of Ephesians, and I think David and I did this once. I think there are about 12 things that he lists that are of the blessings that are in Christ. Mm-hmm. But the only blessings that we have, spiritual blessings, are in Christ.
Well, now, you see, this is one of those passages that makes this motto come alive. Mm-hmm. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. How many times have you heard people talk about the spiritual blessings that are out there? All you got to do is get down on your knees and pray, mm-hmm. and God's going to bless you with all these spiritual blessings. Now, what we have here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 is a truth that is based upon the love of God and based upon the love of God's Word. Now, let me remind everybody that's listening here, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, it is impossible for God to lie. So if it is impossible for God to lie, and God says that all spiritual blessings, that includes every single spiritual blessing, it is in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't make any difference if a million men out there say that there are spiritual blessings outside of Christ, outside of the body of Christ, it doesn't make it true, because God cannot lie. And he's the one that told us that the spiritual blessings are where they are, and they are in Christ Jesus. Now, that brings up a tremendous question. Mm-hmm. And my question is this, and the Bible has the answer. If all spiritual blessings are located in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, in Christ Jesus, then how do I access those spiritual blessings? Because I do know this. One of those spiritual blessings is a promise of everlasting life in heaven with Jesus Christ and all the saints. I do not want to miss that one.
No, exactly right.
There are numerous spiritual blessings that we could go through here and enumerate, but that is the aim. That is the goal. Who do you know that doesn't want to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven.
Nobody in their right mind.
Exactly. Everybody wants to go to heaven. The alternative is absolutely impossible. And so if all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, then I must be in Christ Jesus to access those spiritual blessings. One of those is heaven itself.
Frank, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, that's where we want to be, right?
Absolutely.
Well, how do we get to be in Christ? What does the Bible say?
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Okay, everybody, get a hold of your Bibles and look at it, because this is what God has to say right here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You want to know how to get in Christ Jesus? Let's look at what the Bible has to say. Not what man has to say, but what the Bible has to say. Galatians 3, verse 26.
For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ.
So Paul says very clearly that for one to become, to be in Christ, he must be baptized into Christ, where all those spiritual blessings are. Now, why in the world, David, are there so many people who are trying to say that baptism is not important, baptism is not essential to our salvation, when it's clear that in Christ is where these blessings are found, and we're baptized into Christ.
Into Christ. Okay, well, let's back that up about three words. I want us to look at a very, very important concept of this baptism that we're talking about here in Ephesians or Galatians chapter 3. A very important point that is made here by the Holy Spirit through Paul. In verse number 26, he says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What kind of faith is he talking about here? Well, when we look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we find that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God, again, is going to manifest its love toward us through faith that comes from the Word of God. And when we have that faith that comes from the Word of God, he says, you are children by that faith that comes from the Word of God in Christ Jesus. Now, because we have that faith in Christ Jesus, that belief in Christ Jesus, that obedience in Christ Jesus that we've been talking about here for the last 30 minutes, then he says in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, we ask the question, how do one get into Christ? That's the important question, because all the spiritual blessings are there. What do we have to do? First of all, we got to believe, which will require obedience, which will require us to manifest our love toward God through that obedience and be immersed in water for the remission of our sins in Christ Jesus. Then all of those spiritual blessings will be ours.
Now, let's not lose sight of the fact that tonight we're talking about love.
Absolutely.
And all of these things we're talking about tonight are connected with our love for God and His love for us, and making all of these blessings that are found in Christ possible. That's what love's all about. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We've had some good, I see a lot of names from time to time popping up on the chat box. We're glad to see that you're there, and we're thankful that you're here. And Pete just writes on our chat box, apart from eternal life, how do we know that we have the spiritual blessings now? Well, that's a good question. There are some blessings that we enjoy here in this life. And what might be some of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus here and now?
Well, how about the blessing of being able to approach the throne of God in prayer in Christ Jesus, who is our mediator? How about that blessing to approach the Creator of the universe with a request? Who can do any and everything. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to answer your prayer in the way that you want it. He may answer the prayer in the way that you need it, which means you need some more patience, or you need a little bit of steadfastness here. Let's work on this. You know, the answer of prayer is a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, you know, we're talking with God.
Absolutely, but it only comes as a spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus.
Exactly right. We think of another spiritual blessing that I see throughout the Scriptures, is that is of Christian fellowship. What greater blessing can we enjoy as God's people than being associated with people of common attitudes, common faith, people who are wanting to strive to go to the same place? You know, is that 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 talks about having fellowship with God, then fellowship with one another, associated with the forgiveness of our sins. And that is a wonderful blessing that we have in this life.
You know, one of the spiritual blessings that he lists there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, making known unto us the mystery. You know, when you stop and think about it, what a blessing is ours that God has revealed unto us what he has done for us, what we can do in order to obtain it, and what is yet to be. You know, it was a mystery, it was unknown, but one of the spiritual blessings that is in Christ is the revelation of the will of God for man unto us.
Exactly right. And so when we think about this idea of love, we understand that because of the love of God, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, Again, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. But you know, God has also, because of his love, because he spared not his son, has also blessed us with every good and perfect gift.
No doubt about that. James chapter 1, verse 27, or verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. This is not a variable God. This is not one that turns with a shadow. This is not a fickle God. This is not a Plato God. There is no variableness in this God. He is steadfast, strong, just exactly the way you'd want your God to be. Mm-hmm. Because when something comes up against us, he is there through the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And let's not forget how we get in there. It is through an act of obedience called baptism.
Exactly. And I'm just beside myself trying to understand why probably in the upper 90% of the religious world do not see the importance, the significance, or the essentiality of baptism.
God sees it.
God, and that's the important thing, right?
That is the very important thing.
You have heard what men have said. Listen to what the Bible has to say.
And you know, something that we never ever need to forget, and this is something very simple that you can just put in the back of your head and never forget it. You can't outgive God.
That's right.
God gave his love. You will never ever be able to manifest your love to God the way that God manifested his love toward us. You can't outgive God. Not in love, not in blessings, not in thanks, not in supplication. You can't outgive God. And he has given us so much and has asked so little. What does he want from us? He wants us to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Now, there's a reason for that. God refuses to stand before sin.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stand before God? Remove the sin.
Exactly right.
There's only one way to remove the sin. God has given us the plan. You want to remove the sin for the remission of your sins? Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Not only will it remove the sin so that you can stand before God, it will remove the sin so that you can have access to all the spiritual blessing. It will remove the sin so that you can be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father to live in heaven everlastingly with Jesus Christ and all the saints. What is the downside to that?
You know, Jesus Christ, the very one who gave his life a ransom for many, the very one who shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sin, mm-hmm. said in mm-hmm. Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Those were the words of Jesus. Those are the words of the one who shed his blood for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the one who shed his blood in establishing the church. Now, how dare any man say that baptism is not essential to salvation?
And again, I just can't help but reiterate this over and over and over again. We are here tonight and every Monday night for one purpose. We want people to know what God has to say. We want you to forget what man has to say, because what man has to say will not get you to heaven. What man has to say will not redeem your soul. What man has to say has no ransom to it at all. What man has to say will not give you the remission of the forgiveness of your sins. But what God says will do all of the above and put you in a proper relationship with God, not only here on this earth, and where you can live the most abundant life that ever was, enjoy the most abundant life around the most abundant people, around the greatest people in the world, people with a like precious faith who have been redeemed from their sins by the washing away of those sins in baptism. We all have one thing in common. And those who do not have that in common not only are not Christians just because they feel it in their heart. You see, being a Christian is not a matter of feeling. Being a Christian is a matter of faith. Faith manifested by love.
You know, as we draw to a conclusion tonight, we're thinking about the idea here of how that God that spared not his Son has blessed us with so many things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has promised us that he will bless us with everything that we need. Now, he didn't say everything we wanted, but everything that we need, we have blessings from God. You see, this is all connected. Let's not lose sight of the fact this is all connected with love.
Sure.
God loves us and provides these things for us.
And he provides these things for us conditionally. If we will seek first the kingdom of God, and that kingdom that he's talking about is the church that he purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He bought the church with his own blood. And when people are baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, where does he put them? Where does the Lord put them?
In Christ, in his church.
In his church, in his kingdom. Every single individual who has been blessed with the spiritual blessing of being in Christ Jesus is in the kingdom, in the church, and the ones that are not blessed that way are not there.
1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. And we read just a few minutes ago from Galatians chapter 3, for by faith are you all sons of God, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Behold what manner of love that we should be called the children of God.
And that really gets back to what we've been talking about all day, and really the last couple of weeks about this love. God so loved the world that he gave. He tells us in these Christian graces that we need to add to ourselves the idea, the actions of love. God so loved us that he gave. And we ought to so love God that we give back by our obedience to him, right?
Right. And that pretty well sums it up. You can't outgive God. God has given us every single thing that we need to have in order to be members of the Lord's kingdom, in order to be in Christ Jesus, in order to be sinless because we have had our sins washed away, in order to be able to stand before God and approach him in pleas and supplications and with thanksgiving, and to actually love God back. And it is just an absolutely amazing thing to me, Tom, that people think that God is asking too much of them when there is absolutely no way that we can outgive God. We're just about out of time. You two guys need to sign out for me. Bless you for reading your Bibles. Tune in again next week to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
You have been listening to the Harrison Moore